tonight for our Sunday evening services. We have visitors among us, and we're delighted to have you, as always, and come back at every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, we find Naaman, who is coming to Elisha he has leprosy, and he wants to be cured. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, starting in verse 10, it says, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Simple instructions. Go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, and you'll be clean. Well, listen to what Naaman says. Naaman becomes very wroth. He becomes very angry, and it says he went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." We notice Naaman, a lot like a lot of us today, a lot like the world today. "Behold, I thought." "Behold, I thought." So much controversy going on in the world today. When you look at the headlines, what do you see? You see so many things, controversial topics. President Trump, Muslim immigrants, border walls, Obamacare, gun control, gay marriage, fake news, the media, all these things are things that are very controversial in today. But also, not just the headlines you can look at. What about looking in the mirror? Do we have some controversy things when we look at ourselves in the mirror? Do we see someone who is struggling with sin? Do we see someone who is struggling in marriage? Do we see someone who is struggling with their children and the children being disobedient children or maybe even rebellious children? Maybe there's just something in the family is going on. It's a struggle that we're having to deal with that may be causing controversy in our lives. What about our jobs? What about our debts? Things that cause disagreements, things that cause us to have controversy in our lives and to take our mind, our focus off of the will of God. Looking at controversy, also we can look at the Bible, can't we? We can look in the Bible and we can see that examples of like Adam and Eve. Behold, they thought, didn't they? They thought something. They thought the way that they were told what to do, but you know, Satan talked to them and said, "Oh, you'll be like God." Well, they thought that would be okay to disobey God. You had Cain and Abel, and which one gave that worthy sacrifice, and which one became jealous? Behold, they thought they were doing it like they should. What about Abram and Lot's? Their men, controversy over the well. And what happens? They have to choose a location, and what did they choose? Lot, what did he do? He cast his tents toward what? Towards Sodom. And what happens? We know the story of Sodom. Fire and brimstone rained down upon it. Behold, I thought. You had David. There he is up on top of the roof looking down at Bathsheba. Behold, I thought this would be a good thing to do. The death of her husband. Jesus, the Son of God. We have people that would not believe in Him. They would not believe that He was the Son of God. Behold, they thought. Do we have that same thing today? Behold, I thought. I think that's a lot of the root of controversy. It's when we put our opinions and when we put our thoughts into it, it's not what the Bible says, but it's what we say, what we think. What we think is the right way. When we look at what the Bible says about controversy and how to handle controversy, we can look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and we can see where Paul is talking to Timothy, and starting in verse 22, he says, tells him to flee also youthful lust. He tells him, you follow righteousness. You follow faith. You follow charity. You follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what I want you to do. You call on these things with a pure heart. What's our motive behind why we do things? God knows our heart. He knows what our motive is. He knows why we do what we do. He goes on and he says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. See, foolish and unlearned questions. These kind of questions cause controversy. Knowing that they gender strife, they cause more strife to happen. The servant of the Lord must not strive, he tells him, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You see, as Christians, we're set apart. We're different. There's a way, when the controversy arises, there is a way for us to act, and there's a way for us not to act. He says, you be gentle. Why? Because he says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. We're gentle with the individuals who are controversy. Is that easy? It's not easy. When someone is constantly trying to disagree with something, even though they're disagreeing with the truth, it's very difficult sometimes to be able to deal with that type of person. But what does he say? You be gentle. Also in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, we're told to avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law. Why? Those types of things, he says, they're unprofitable and they're vain. Those things that talk about the useless traditions or useless histories, that talk about who makes trouble and fight, and those that are fighting about the law of Moses, those things aren't going to help anyone. He says, a man that is a heretic after the first and the second, you admonish them. But after you've admonished them, he says, you reject them. Those that are going to cause that contention, going to cause that strife, going to cause that controversy, you admonish them first and second. But then you reject them. Don't associate with those types of people. Things in the Bible we can go to. We can see things that are definitely controversial. When we hear of people saying, there's not one true God. There's multiple gods. We know. We can read the Bible. What does the Bible say? But again, that behold I thought comes in. Well, you show me where it says there's more than one God that we can follow in the Bible, and then that's what we'll do. But what does he say? And we see in Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, it says, Moses is talking here, and he says, go in unto Pharaoh, and for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. He says, that they may tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt. You go, I'm going to tell you, you do this, and I'm going to tell you these things. He says, my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Not that you may think that I'm the Lord, but that you may know I am the Lord. Then that's exactly what he did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, he says, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ by whom are all things, and we by him, he says. There is one true God. There are other people. There are people who think that, you know, that Jesus isn't the Christ. They believe that, I've had somebody tell me that they just thought Jesus was a prophet. He was a good man. He's not the Son of God. He's just a man who did a lot of really good things when he was here on this earth. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think, well, you know what? I think something else. Well, no. What did he say? You have a Savior who came to save the earth. That one person, Jesus Christ. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's through the name of Jesus Christ that we have that salvation. Some will say, and some will contradict, you know, the deity is not really three separate things. It's just one. You know, they're all just the same thing. Well, what does the Bible say? Again, we can say, behold, I thought. We can think all these things that we want to. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17, says that Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw a Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You had the Son here on earth. You had the Spirit of God descending upon him. You had the voice of the Father in heaven saying, "This is my Son." Three separate beings. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Three different beings there. You have in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Peter's talking to Ananias, and he says, "Why has Satan filled their heart to lie against the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not your own property?" He says, "Why have you conceived the things in thy heart that thou shalt not have not lied unto men, but you've lied unto God?" See, he was lying against these different beings here. The Bible confirms that these are separate, even though in this day and time it may be controversial. I asked a question to the kids just a few minutes ago. How many days did it take to create the earth? And they said 6 days. That's controversial. And today, people don't think that. When you Google and you ask how old is the earth, here's what you'll find. The earth is thought. That's what it says when I looked it up. The earth is thought. Again, Naaman, "Behold, I thought." The earth is thought to have been formed 4.6 billion years ago by collision in the giant disc-shaped cloud of material that has also formed the sun. Gravity slowly gathered this gas and dust together into clumps called asteroids and small early planets. The objects collided and gradually got bigger, building up planets in the solar system, including Earth. It's absurd. "Behold, I thought." What does the Bible say? "For in 6 days," in Acts chapter 20, verse 11, "in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." See the same thing in Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 through 9. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." These things, He said it and it came to be. But this is controversial in today's time. What about the virgin birth and the miracles of Jesus? You have people saying that's just not how it happened. "Behold, I thought again." You know, we think and we know that births are usually not from someone who is a virgin. But we know, and by faith and belief, and here, the Bible said it, and so we believe it. God said it so that there's no room for us to think about something else because He's already told us what happened. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus was on the wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, behold, that before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." There it is. It says it in the Bible. So we know that it is true. Well, maybe that happened, but I don't know. Jesus didn't perform all those miracles. There's just no way He could have done all those things. There's no way that He could have turned water to wine. There's no way that He could have taken this little small thing of fish and bread and fed 5,000 or fed 4,000 people. There's no way that He could have healed a leper. There's no way that He could have healed this centurion servant. There's no way that He could have raised this individual from the dead. There's no way that He can make a blind man to see. There's no way that He can make a dumb man healed. And there's surely He's not walking on the water. Again, things that people will argue and debate about today, but it's right here in the Bible and it's what He says. John chapter 20, 30 and 31, "And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." They had Jesus there with them. They saw His power. They saw that He came from God. But they were blinded to it. They were blinded because of their jealousy. They were blinded because they wanted people to fall down to them. They were blinded because of their pride, and so Jesus was crucified. Can you imagine? as they are going and they are getting Jesus. And when Peter cuts off Malchus's ear, could you imagine whenever he takes and he makes that ear whole, that they still will not say, you know what, he is the Christ. They still carry him, bind him, and crucify him. Well, you know what? This is definitely controversial today. The one church, one plan of salvation. There's you some controversy. Have a conversation with someone and see how controversial that is. You know, what will the world say? Well, it really doesn't matter where you go. We're all going to the same place. It doesn't matter what you do in your worship service. It doesn't matter how you become a Christian, as long as you become one. Again, behold, I thought. What we do and what we say and what we do in our worship service and what we do when we leave these walls of this building should be a thus saith the Lord of what the Bible says. What does God tell us? What is the plan He's already given us? In Ephesians chapter 4, what does He say? There is one body. There is one Spirit, even as you are called of one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He says there's one. I wished I could change it. I wish I could say everybody that says that they believe in Jesus could go, I wish that's what it said. But this is what He has told us. And this is what I've read. And this is what He says. So this is what I must teach. This is what I must preach. Because this is what it says. Not what I think, but what He says in the Scriptures. In Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. We have here that Peter, he's saying here, and Jesus is asked the question, by whom say ye that I am? And Peter, in verse 17, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does he say here? He tells Peter, he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? I mean, was Peter standing on a rock? What is he saying? He's saying the rock, the statement that he has just made. What did he just say? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that believe in Him to be the Son of God. He says, I'm going to build my church on that. And he did. But behold, I think, you know, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. You don't have to get, you know, why would anybody want to get up here and mess up their hair after they've spent 30 minutes on it and go down in this water and come up? Why would you want to mess your makeup up to do that? Why would you want to have to change your clothes and get in this, and try on some of these other things to get in here and just have to make everybody else wait? Well, what did he say do? Again, behold, I think. And that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? In Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Well, some people will say, well, you know what? I think because he says, he doesn't say anything about if you're not believing and you're not baptized, you're going to be damned. Well, if you don't believe, are you going to be baptized? No. You're not going to follow through that because that's why he says, well, if you don't believe, you're not even going to attempt the baptism part of it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, he said, you repent and be baptized. Why? He says, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we go on to verse 47, they're praising God. They're having favor with all the people, and the Lord is adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, who is he saving? Those individuals who is just becoming Christians. Those individuals who were being baptized. In Galatians 3, verse 27, as many of you have been baptized into Christ, you've put on Christ. Now, is baptism the only thing? If I just get up here and I just take someone, maybe some, I guess, go out to the audience and I find someone who's not a Christian, and I just grab a hold of you, I take you up here and I dunk you in this water, and I say, you're baptized. Is that baptism? That's not baptism. There's more to it than that. We've had several young folks, four, in the last several weeks, to become a Christian. They've been hearing the Word. They have believed the Word. They have repented, changing their ways, knowing that, you know, I'm in a lost condition. Now that I need to change. I need to be in a condition that where I'll be right with God. They've made the confession that Jesus is the Son of God. And then they're baptized. And what happens when they're baptized? They're washing away those sins and rising up to walk in a newness of life. Is that what Matt thinks? Or is that what the Bible says? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, the light figure, whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's in Him. It's in His church. That's how we're added to His church, by becoming a Christian. Well, wait a minute. Can't I just talk straight to God? Well, there's someone in between we have to go through. That's why He sent His Son, so that we could go between Him. That's why He sent His Son, so His Son, where God should be telling Matt Taylor, you should be damned because of the sins that you do. He sent a Savior. He sent someone that will act on my behalf. He's the mediator between God and man. And that's Jesus Christ. Well, what if I just don't go all the way under? Those are things that sometimes that is very controversial too. Even with people who believe in baptism, maybe I can just sprinkle them with some water, or maybe I can just, you know, just pour something over their head. Or what does it say? Again, behold, I thought. What does it say? What does the Bible say? It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and He baptized him. Now, if the eunuch didn't need to get into the water and be immersed, go underneath the water, why didn't he just grab something and while he's in the chariot, just take that water and just splash it up on him and say, go on your way? Because that's not what baptism is. Colossians 2, verse 12, be buried with Him in baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, know you not that so many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Again, we talked about baptism. We read some scriptures there about baptism. It's for the remission of sins. It washes away sins. That's why you're walking the newness of life. You don't have those sins anymore. But that's controversial today. You have those who think baptism, it is, the Bible says it's for people who are penitent believers. Those who believe, those who repented, were the individuals who were baptized. But that's controversial today. Behold, I thought. What about the Lord's Supper? That's something that's also controversial today. Why do you take it every day? Why do you take it every Sunday? Well, what did He say? What does the Bible say? It Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. That's when they did it. Well, why don't you do it every week? Well, how many first days of the week are there? There's 52 first days of the week. Well, why do you got to do it every time? I think that'll just, you know, that'll take away from it. Did it take away when they remembered the Sabbath day and kept it holy? Did it take away from that? It didn't. They continued to do what God said. It didn't lose its meaning. And if it loses its meaning, or if it loses the meaning for me, then whose problem is that? It's my problem. Maybe it's the way I'm thinking and my thoughts when I'm going into that worship. We have people today and the singing in worship. You know what? I think that we just need a piano that would help us all keep us in tune and will drown out Matt Taylor who can't sing and can't hit a lick. I think that's what we need to do. Again, behold, I think. What did he say? Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Colossians 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He didn't tell me to play something. He told me to sing. Who did he tell to sing? A special group? One or two? That's all of us. Well, I just don't think I sing very well. Well, is that what you think or is that what he said? So many other things that are controversial in the church. Individuals thinking that churches are not independent and autonomous. People who think of that marriage and divorce. You can get married to whoever you want to. You can get divorced as many times that you just ask God for forgiveness. They wipe it away and just continue to get remarried. You have people who will say, oh, it's okay. You can have fellowship with those false teachers. People who are teaching things that are contrary, you just go ahead and you hang out with those individuals. False teachers teach false doctrine. That's not what some will say. That's what the Bible says. You have some that says one man and one woman joined in marriage. That's what it says in Matthew 9, verse 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, which that will lead into homosexuality. It is a sin. Behold, I think it's not. Well, behold, you better be reading what God says. Drunkenness, it's a sin. Well, I don't think it's that. You can just, what does the Bible say? What does He teach? What does He tell us? How can we be pure if we're engaging ourselves in these sins or in any other sin? What else does he say? You know what? Hell is not really an eternal punishment. You're just going to go back to the earth. That is controversial today. People saying that hell is not real, but we know that it is. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Awful. But it's true. This morning, Brother Guy was talking about Joshua. And you know, he was up here and he was doing his hand motions. On the first day, Joshua and they went around Jericho one time. On the second day, they went around it again and again and again and again. Until the sixth day, they were going around it seven times. Why didn't they pitch a fit? Why didn't they stir up some controversy? God, you have told us, we have only had to walk around it one time, and on the last day, you're making us go around it seven times. Why didn't they argue? But we do today, don't we? God says it, and we just want to argue, and we want to complain about it. We want to cause some controversy. And here's why I think. Here's not why I think. This is Matt thinking, but also pulling from the Scriptures. Is a lack of love, a lack of respect for God's word and for his directions, his commands. When you think about love, and I read in some recent weddings that I have done, I've used 1 Corinthians 13 because that tells us the description of what love is. You see, because love is patient, love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not selfish. It cannot be made angry easily. It does not remember wrongs done against it. It's never happy when others do wrong. It's always happy with the truth. It never gives up on people. Love never stops trusting. Love never loses hope. Love never quits. Love never ends. It never fails. So you think about all the controversies in this world today. Think about all the headlines. Think about when you look at yourself in the mirror. Think about the different things in the Bible. Why is there controversy? Some of these things they're not doing, are they? They have a love of what we want, not a love of what He wants. We know that God, that He is love. He says, "You are the children of God. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them." But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That they are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Christians are of God. And He knows God hears us. And he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know that we the truth, and the spirit of error. He says, beloved, let us do what? Let us love one another. For God is of love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You want to see all the hate in the world today? It's because they don't have God. You want to see all the hate in the world today? It's because they don't have Jesus. They wouldn't be worried about all these things that are going on in this world today if we loved each other like God loved us, and that we would give our life for our fellow man. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only Son, the perfect example of love, His only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love. It's not that we love God. It's that He loved us. That is love. And we, as Christians, we have to speak out. We have to get up. We have to show that love toward others. Because He loved the world so much that He gave His Son, that we need to give back. But even with all that, what sad words are said. Individuals who some mocked concerning the resurrection of the dead, even though they were told the truth, they mocked about it. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, the Lord said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein. And He says, ye shall find rest for your souls. But what did they say? We will not walk therein. Some sad words in the Bible concerning those of the truth have erred there in 2 Timothy 2:17, 18, Hymenaeus and Philetus. You have those that Jesus will say, He said to those who hadn't shown love and who hadn't shown obedience, He said, you depart from me. You had those in Matthew chapter 25, the foolish virgins, the door was shut. How sad that is. Concerning the faith, could you imagine that those who don't obey the truth, it says that their faith has been shipwrecked? Or what about Felix when he says, you go your way? Or what about King Agrippa who says, almost persuaded? There's a lot of controversy in the world, but I hope none of these words, these sad words that people have some controversy during this day and time, will not be said about us. If there's someone here tonight who needs to become a Christian, do so tonight. If there's someone here who has fallen away, get yourself right. Do it right now as we stand and as we sing.